enjoy a good squeeze.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Margot.
I'm August.
Well, this is a good squeeze. What are the odds?
That sounded like we were introducing each other to each other. Do you come here often?
No. Welcome to A Good Squeeze.
Yes, indeed. The show where we squeeze a little bit of that James Bond into our everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And we certainly did on this episode. We did a little traveling.
Mm-hmm. Did we ever?
And we journeyed to a James Bond location. But not only a James Bond location, Margot's home away from home, away from home.
That's right. It's called San Francisco. And it's in California, which is on the West Coast.
Ooh.
There you go. For all you map enthusiasts out there. It's out west.
Our exotic travels.
Yeah. So we went out down, you know, San Francisco way. Had ourselves a couple little trips down there.
Mm-hmm.
We will regale the tale.
Yes, indeed. It is a James Bond location because, hey, we are in that 40th year anniversary of the James Bond film, A View to a Kill,
mm-hmm.
and a large portion of that takes place in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is a movie I've seen my whole life, and getting to go out and see some of these spots was really cool. I appreciate it even more because, I don't want to say it's a more obtainable location, but
it's not, you know, Mount Everest. It's not Piz Gloria.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean.
The travel, it didn't take as long to get there. It's really what I'm trying to spit out.
Yeah, there you go. You take a plane, maybe two. Who knows? Depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
And then get out at the airport. You take the BART up to, you know, some station, and then you're in San Francisco. Everything works out for you. It's an easy travel.
Is the BART the San Francisco
subway? It's the San Francisco subway.
And we call it the BART.
The BART. I don't know what it stands for, but we call it the BART.
Mm-hmm.
And enough about the BART. We made our way down there as one of our little first time was for one of our little honeymoons.
Mm-hmm.
We had just gotten married, and instead of going on one big guy, we decided to kind of pepper it out throughout trips. Mm-hmm. New York was one of them. We, you know, check out our last episode about that. San Francisco was a big spot for us. It's always been a bucket list item for August. Alcatraz, you know, Golden mm-hmm. Gate Bridge, mm-hmm. Fisherman's Wharf, you know, all that. The touristy things, but the main hotspots, the reasons it's famous.
Hey, yeah, you know, I love a touristy spot.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, a tourist.
I love doing a nice 50-50 or maybe like a 70-30 of like mm-hmm. touristy stuff, and then we found our bagel place, like stuff like that.
And that's the 70 for you, correct?
70 is the bagel spot, yes. Only bagels, and then 30% touristy stuff. But what was nice was going in back there as like I had lived there. I lived there for 6 years, 19 years in California total, but I was 6 years in San Francisco. And, you know, you kind of develop a routine after 6 years. And it was nice to revisit those spots with August to show him kind of like what a day in the life of Margo looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been about 6 years since I've been back because I left in 2019, and here we are in 2025, and we had been there. We went there when 2020,
and then just recently.
Yeah, yeah. So enough time had passed that mm-hmm. It grew a beard. No, and so just to for me to kind of revisit it from the perspective of like an outsider, not going back in, you know, as a you know, as a resident, you know, just being very like in awe of what San Francisco had to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what were your first impressions of San Francisco?
So, you know, around this time, San Francisco, you know, there is a reputation about it. So I was kind of going in with maybe a little bit of that preconceived notion. You also had lived there for many years, and you kind of had a rough go there initially, if I'm not mistaken. So going in, not that I was not anticipating like a good trip.
Mm-hmm.
I was just not fully knowing what to expect. And I spoiler alert, I was blown away. I had a really good time in San Francisco. So much so, I was looking forward to our most recent travel back, mm-hmm. hitting up some spots we had done the first time around, but finding some new ones as well.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing, elephant in the room. We know there had been a couple of issues going on in San Francisco. We're not going to be addressing that too much. Just wanted to say that because we're going to be, you know, obviously focusing on what we did on the trip. But that was something I had, you know, let August know about. I was like, hey, you know, it's not just, you know, that situation. There's a million other things that you got to look out for when you're going in the big, big bad wolf city of San Francisco. And I gave him this, like, military drill rundown, like, you know, if somebody looks at you, what do you do? If you do this and da, 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 again, you know, like, it was a lot of that. And I was pleasantly surprised that it's not at all like that anymore. It was real nice, real beautiful. I was very pleasantly surprised because all the stuff that I had warned him about, as you know, the things that I had experienced as a resident there, they drastically changed. Mm-hmm. And as a tourist, I felt like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I was just seeing it from a completely new lens. It was mm-hmm. like, oh, this is the postcard. This is the postcard of San Francisco. Also, our first time, we got really lucky because Outside Lands, which is a music festival, was happening. So the entire city was essentially there. They weren't in the city. Like, they were all gone. There was this, like, big music festival going on. Yeah. It was empty. We didn't have to stand in line for anything. There were no crowds. We went to Fisherman's Wharf. Mm-hmm. Nothing. The line to Alcatraz wasn't that bad. Usually it's pretty bad. But that time really wasn't that bad.
We were just there a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, it was 20 crazy.
20 minutes or something.
Yeah. It was wild, like, seeing it from, like, I don't know, like, it was almost like, hey, here's a second chance, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, here's another chance for you to appreciate the city that you're from. Because, mm-hmm. You know, spoiler alert, I left because I wasn't too happy with living out there, which is fine. Some people like living places, some people don't. And moved out down Pittsburgh way. And, you know, I had a very mixed relationship with San Francisco. So when we were planning on going back, I was very much preparing myself for having those feelings, and I didn't. And it was really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And part of that was really reinforced when I was showing August all my spots. One thing that I like to do when we travel is make itineraries. Isn't that cute? I get a map. I essentially design my own map with, like, not a beat for beat schedule, but a good framework for what we can do at certain points of the day with multiple options depending on how we're feeling, and it's very flexible. And so I've got our little itinerary here because I bind it and I make it all nice and hardcover and everything. I'm looking at this right now, and we did a lot. We went from neighborhood to neighborhood to neighborhood. We started off in, I don't remember the name of the neighborhood, but Eddie's Cafe, which mm-hmm. is, you know, was my go-to diner there. We went and saw the Painted Ladies, which was it's the Full House houses, like in the opening credits, that hill where they're all running on. We went there. Japantown. We went to Grandview Park, which was super cool.
You know, you mentioned Japantown. Mm-hmm. And I had never experienced anything like that little area. I mean, nothing's little about it. You feel like you're in Japan there. And there were all sorts of restaurants and some, what was that dessert we had? Oh my God.
Oh, the, ice cream with, like, the fish. Oh, I don't know what it's called. That's ice cream with the fish. Let me finish. It's it's like a fish pancake or fish shaped waffle. And its mouth opens up, and they put ice cream in it. So it's like a waffle cone, but it's like a soft waffle. Yeah. And no fish in it, just shaped as a fish. And it's real good. I'm trying to remember. This was way too far back, to be perfectly honest, for me to remember everything beat for beat. But I'm curious about what your impressions of San Francisco.
You know, the city itself was really awesome. Beautiful to look at, of course. Alcatraz is incredible. It was my highlight of things to visit. I loved, you know, seeing it from afar, but then getting on the island on the rock and touring it and just seeing everything and just being present there was my highlight of the whole trip. But we went to a spy museum, which was it a spy museum?
It felt weird. It felt like it wasn't selling legal stuff. Like, yeah. There was a lot that was like, you know.
Like hidden pocket nunchucks.
Yeah, like hidden pocket arsenic. You're like, what? Like, it just felt, you know, some stuff felt questionable.
Yeah.
And you could tell, like, I was like, I feel like if I called the cops, they could get you for something here. Like, just being in here felt not right. But they had a James Bond, like, they had a, what's his name?
Sean Connery.
Thank you. Sean Connery action figure, mm-hmm. or doll, whatever you want to call it, like, in one of the displays with some, like, James Bondy stuff. And it was called the 007 Spy Store. But that's pretty much where the 007 influence stopped, and mm-hmm. way more like, hey, this is clearly an illegal weapon you could use. And you're like, well, I don't know if that's, if yeah. that's nice.
We hiked around all over the place. We did most of it on foot. I think we did like 14 miles a day on foot almost. And
I had calluses over my blisters.
We walked all the way to that zigzaggy road.
Lombard Road.
Very famous road. And we got there after this trek uphill. And we were like, oh, there it is. It is really cool to look at.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you want to walk up it? I'm like, nah.
It's all hills. People in Pittsburgh are like, oh, we have so many hills. Nah, you don't. Because here's the thing. You do, but you don't have a walkable city. So these hills don't matter. Because you're in your car anyways. San Francisco, those hills matter. Because mm-hmm. you're going to go from point A to point B. It's going to be on a hill.
Yeah.
Like, they're always like, oh, it's a 5-minute walk. But then you get there and it's like a freaking 91 degree slope. You're like, that's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we just went downhill and went to, like, Jimmy Stewart's apartment from Vertigo. Yeah,
which is no longer there. And we were like, well, that's where it was. So, yeah.
But, like, it was easy to get around. Like, where we were staying, it was in walking distance of a lot of really cool places, like the Sutro Bathhouse, which was also something, like, really unique that I had never, you know, been to anything like that before. Mm-hmm. What is the Sutro Bath?
Sutro Bath is a location. It's where there used to be right by, right off the beach, there was a bathhouse.
Massive.
Burned down. And the ruins are still there. It looks like ruins. It doesn't look like, it looks mm-hmm. like ancient Rome, like,
yeah.
you know, pillars and this and that. And it's a tagger's paradise, like people who do like graffiti and stuff. Mm-hmm. Really cool location. It's yeah. free to just roam and attend.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And there's a lot of history there. And there's yeah. like little kiosks where you can read about what's going on.
And you can see like the layout of the actual floor plan still within the ruins, because it's like the rooms and everything. The walls are still like, or like the foundation's mm-hmm. still there. And you can see the water like from the ocean, like it's still filled up with like, or sorry, the pools are still filled up with water. And, you know, you kind of have to like walk like 1 foot in front of the other on these paths because they're like very narrow. And if you fall in the water, then, yeah. you know, you're in the water and that sucks. but it's really neat. I highly recommend looking it up. If you're going to be in San Francisco, that's definitely a spot to check out. And it's a cool spot to hang out. That was like one of those like places that even as a resident, I didn't like that wasn't necessarily a spot I'd consider touristy. It's really cool to just visit, walk around. There's all these tunnels like off the side of the cliff that you can go into. The beach is right there, literally right there. It's right in front of you. And it's really beautiful. And it's in a really sweet little neighborhood. It's in the Richmond, I'm pretty sure, or off of the Richmond. And there's a ton of little restaurants and shops and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just really, really cool. And it was right by our Airbnb too.
Yeah.
Just talking about it makes me want to go back. Like, that's the thing, is it's the stuff like that that makes San Francisco so cool, is like, yes, there is all the touristy stuff, but then there's all these like hidden, you know, like historical sites is mm-hmm. the best way I can describe it, because San Francisco is rich in history. There's a lot, the Barbary Coast, you know, that's like, that's our thing over there. And there's a lot of dark history, and there's a lot of like powerful, you know, sites that you get to visit that have like very interesting, what do you call it, events, essentially, because of the earthquakes and the fires and this and the that that's happened over mm-hmm. the course of the years. It's really cool. So yeah, Sutro Baths is one of those.
I also really liked, kind of close to the area, like I said, we're in walking distance to the Balboa Theater. Mm-hmm. Was this old theater, but it looks so cool.
Movie theater. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There was some really great restaurants close by. We had some like excellent Japanese curry. Mm-hmm. We had an excellent burrito. We got like burritos and had a movie night.
Yeah, and I hate to be that person who's like, oh, in California, the Mexican food's so much better. It was so nice getting an actual like taqueria burrito. Mm-hmm. Like going in and it's like so tightly wrapped in that foil. You know, it's just like quick ordering, get out kind of thing, and it's just the juiciest, yummiest, so full of flavor, and I miss that so much. Mm-hmm. It was like, I forgot how spoiled we were out there, but
we also found our bagel spot around there.
Yes, we did. We're gonna keep it a secret.
That's right. We always look for a bagel spot every city we go to, mm-hmm. but we always keep it a secret. It's just for no reason
other than... It's not because we forgot. It's just because we don't want to tell you. Yeah. I mean, but it's nice, you know, I feel like this is something that even having a podcast, when you go on these little trips, like, you know, we made a little video for San Francisco just to kind of cover, you know, what we did, and it romanticizes it, and it's really nice to look back on because, you know, it kind of wraps up the whole trip for, you know, what it was and how we mm-hmm. felt about it, and you add a little music, and it's really sweet, but you want to make everything a product. Like, how can we show people? How can we do this? How can we do that? It's nice to have these things that you keep to yourself, and we are obviously rubbing it in people's faces by telling you, we have a bagel spot and we're not going to tell you what it is. You should go find your own bagel spot. You should keep things for yourself. Maybe let people know that you're doing that and kind of just, you know, reinforce that. Not everything needs to be a marketing campaign and everything, and have a little fun with it. Be secretive, be a mm-hmm. secret little something, you know?
Is that going to be our next logo?
Nope.
Slogan?
What?
Be a little secret of someone.
Be a little secret of someone. Yeah, that's cute.
Then, you know, we did hit up Fisherman's Wharf, which is a smorgasbord of restaurants and entertainment and just things to do and things to see. And it's on Fisherman's Wharf. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of seafood and you got your clam chowder there. And there's one of the most unique things I've ever seen, which I'm going to say is like holy San Francisco, because like nowhere else is like that, is the the arcade.
I don't remember. Yeah, Musée Mécanique. Mm-hmm. Musée, like museum, but French. Musée Mécanique, mechanical. Yeah, it's all these like old school, and by old school we mean like
early 1900s, yeah. late 1800s.
Like you put in your quarter, mm-hmm. and at the time I'm sure it was half a penny, but now it's a quarter, and what happens is, you know, the curtain, it's like a little box, and the curtain rises, and there's these puppets, and they kind of shake for like a second, and then the curtain falls, and that was it. And that was like the talk of the town at the time, but it sounds boring, but it's a bunch of these different types of like early 1900s arcade games, whether that's
like hundreds of them.
Yeah, like it could, it's, you know, there's like Laughing Susan, which is just a massive animatronic human, but from the 1900s, so it looks terrifying, and she just goes oh, ha, 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 and she like shakes in front of you and kind of falls towards you. It's very scary. There's Laughing Jack, who's essentially the same thing but smaller. They have like fortune teller games where you put your hand on like you know, a hand shape nook, whatever, on the game, and then a bunch of, you know, it gives you, it like vibrates or something, and it's like, ooh, we're telling you your future. And then a little card comes out and it gives you like a, what do you call it? A
fortune?
A fortune. Thank you. Sorry. A fortune. And it's cool because it's like, you know, it's fun. It's exciting. And it's there's a ton of stuff in there. Mm-hmm. And then there's retro games, you know, just a little bit of, you know, there's Pong in there. Nothing crazy, nothing too expansive. It's mostly early 1900s stuff, but it's so... That's like one of my favorite spots in San Francisco.
Yeah, I really like it there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Fisherman's Wharf is a James Bond location. That's where Bond goes and meets up with a CIA agent, gets some information about mm-hmm. Zorin. And then another spot we hit up was, is it Golden Gate Park, where you get to view the Golden Gate Bridge? Wherever we went that we
got Presidio. We were in the Presidio.
Presidio.
Yes. Presidio was very cool. Did we go to Golden Gate Park?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Robin Williams. We went and saw the Robin Williams Field. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yes, the Presidio was very beautiful. We went on such a lovely day, too. We got so lucky. There was no fog.
Yeah, no fog.
It's always foggy out there. It's always foggy. We went in September.
Yeah.
Yeah. Best time to go is in the fall. It's nice and clear and sunny. It's not too cold. Unless you're going, you want to see the fog, like the famous California fog or San Francisco fog, go in the summer. It's every day is like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was really, really lovely. You know, just kind of walk up the path. You get to see, like, they have like a cross section of one of the cables and what it looks like. Mm-hmm. And that's very impressive. Thing's huge. What else do they got? You know, all sorts of, you know, like, oh, here's what we can tell you about why, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge was built a certain way, blah, blah, blah. We didn't go on it. I don't know why.
We did. We didn't cross it or anything, but we touched it. We touched the butt.
We touched the butt.
Yeah. And, of course, that is a James Bond location as well. The finale takes place on the Golden Gate Bridge in A View to a Kill. And Bond and Zorin have their standoff, their fight, their battle to the death on top of the Golden Gate Bridge. So it was really cool to see that in person and be like, holy smokes. It's scary to even look up that high, but that guy fell from up there.
Mm-hmm. Real dude.
Yeah. James Bond movies are biopics.
That's true.
And, yeah, we had a great trip. Like Mark, like we were saying, a lot was crammed into, you know, a 3-day visit. And we had such a good time that we recently traveled through California and we wanted to have another visit in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my friends who I had, like gotten back in touch with, she still lives out there. And, you know, it was a perfect opportunity. Let's take a little trip to San Francisco and let's visit her and, her, boyfriend, who is a fan of the pod now because of our influence on him. He was so charmed. He said, oh, I have to listen.
No, he was listening before anyway.
I know. Well, he, you know, whatever.
He loves James Bond stuff. And
that's true.
We just talk about it. So
yeah.
He tunes in.
It was nice. Yeah. We just talk about it. That's like kind of the whole premise of our podcast. no, it was really cool because we told them, like, show us what you want to show us. Like, we're happy to go anywhere, happy to do anything. We went and got little burgers the night that we got there, hung out with them for a while. At their place. They're nice.
Is that a place you would eat at too?
Beep's Burgers. Yeah, that's because I went to school right next to Beep's Burgers at City College of San Francisco. Whoop whoop. That was my other alma mater.
So this was like, once again, another little trip down memory lane. Mm-hmm. We got to experience a bunch of your other stomps when it came to like your, where's that place you like to get like a bao bun in the morning before school?
Oh yeah, yeah. There was just like a Chinese bakery that I would go to, and yeah, it was cool like revisiting, because that whole area where they live now is where I used to live when I was still in college. I lived like a couple blocks away from them of where they are now, and I can't believe we didn't walk by it. I should have taken us there.
Oh yeah, we didn't.
I think I wanted to and then we got distracted and we just like didn't get to it.
Yeah.
That's all right though. It's the house is probably still there.
Next time.
Yeah. And what was I gonna say? Oh, there's an emergency.
I don't know if you can hear that in the mic, but
you could.
All kinds of fire trucks going by.
But it was really cool revisiting it because not much has changed down there. And like the Target closed, but that's about it. And we got to walk through City College, which looks a little rough now, but that's all right. We went to get Chinese. We went to the Chinese bakery, got a little bun there, went and got coffee, came back to my friend's apartment, and she made us delicious coffee. And that's
better than the swill we bought.
It's insane. I was like, man, this is like, you could make money off of this. And then I was like, wait, hold on, baby. Not everything needs to be a moneymaker. And then from there, they kind of just took us out on the town, like all these different spots. I love getting dragged along when it's fun, obviously. But when people are like, okay, we're going to go here, 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 and then here, I'm like, sounds good. I don't have to do the work. I don't have the itinerary. So
yeah, well, without that, we're nothing.
Exactly.
it was a lot of catching up too, that visit. It was mostly hanging out at the apartment, and you and your friend were regaling tales and
of karate. I was nuts.
Anyways. I was getting to know, you know, Chris, and he was, you know, we're talking about James Bond stuff and, you know, the books and the films and the video games and just memories of how we got into it and our present fandom, things like that. So that was nice. And, you know, San Francisco is just a really cool spot. It is a piece of James Bond, but it's also a piece of you and your life history. So it was really nice for me to have, selfishly, have two little, you know, things to latch on to San Francisco. The Bond stuff and the you stuff. And I had a really nice time in San Francisco.
Yeah. I'm excited for the next time we go. We're definitely going to be making this a regular trip. It's a really lovely city now. And a lot of the people that I talk to in Pittsburgh now, you know, they'll, you know, when I meet them and I'm like, I'm from San Francisco, blah, blah, blah. They, you can tell there's like this, like, kind of hint of hesitation, this moment of hesitation to compliment the city, because a lot of these people that I met or I'm meeting recently visited during that time that I was talking about, where it was a little bit more rough, where it wasn't exactly, you know, the city that it is now. And I always love telling them, like, oh, it's good now, it's so clean, if they did such a good job, and, you know, kind of pushing for that, you know, kind of, I don't know, you can tell they just put a lot of work into the city to make it, you know,
what it is now,
which is nice. You know, say, and here's the thing, like, it used to be a little bit more rough, but that's also because I didn't live in, like, the best neighborhoods, you know, and as a college student. But it's definitely come a long way, and it's very nice to see. So I'm really excited to visit again and, you know, make it different every single time. And there's just so much to do in such a small city. It's 89 square feet. Margo. It's 89 square miles, which is not a lot. And
is that bigger than Pittsburgh? Smaller.
Much smaller. It's so tiny. It's a teeny tiny city. It's just a square. It's literally just a square. But there's so much to do there, because there's so many hills. If you, like, stretched it out, it would be a bigger city, but, you know.
Sure. I mean, going there a few times, there's plenty more to see. You can see the Mrs. Doubtfire House. Mm-hmm. Perhaps we will cross the Golden Gate Bridge.
One day.
And really be in the element of Max Zorin.
Mm-hmm. We're going to push someone off the...
It'll be me.
I started saying that, and I was like, I think that's illegal to say. Never mind.
Maybe so. But, that was our San Francisco journey, our little, you know, squeeze of some James Bond location spot, but also just a little log of what we did. And maybe if you liked what we did, maybe you could go do it yourself.
Yeah, that's right. Make your own little itinerary. Copyright Margo. Don't ever copy me or I'll be mad. I'll be cross with you.
So would you say San Francisco is for the novice or the nostalgic?
Ah, that's a great question. I think it's for the nostalgic. If you don't know what you're in for, you're not going to have a good time. Maybe. It's such a specific city. And I feel like every city is a specific city. Blah, blah, blah. But that's the difference between, like, San Francisco and New York. New York, you can kind of just...
I think a novice could go to New York.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what this means, really, but if I guess, like, a traveling
like, if
person.
You don't, like, do your research on San Francisco, you're not really going to know what to do. There is a lot of stuff to do. You can just walk down a street and there will be stuff to do, but it's very specific. It's every neighborhood has such a...
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's one neighborhood doesn't look like the next. I mean, that's every city again. Sorry. But, like, it's so walkable and it's so explorable that you need a plan. You need to know what it is that you're looking for, what it is that you want to do. It's good to know people there. It's good to know where you should and shouldn't go. It's really going to help you. So if you're like, oh, I've never left my hometown and I want to go on a trip, don't do San Francisco first. Maybe third or fourth, but don't do that one first.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree.
Come
with
to Pittsburgh.
You. Yeah. Pittsburgh's also not for the novice.
No, certainly not.
Yeah, I think San Francisco's for the nostalgic. Mm-hmm. Definitely not a place you can just like get plopped into and just kind of go. I mean, you could, you know, we're being like, you know,
persnickety. But I don't think you'd appreciate it. Like the mm-hmm. Mrs. Doubtfire house, it's just a house, but like if you're walking by it,
you might not realize it.
Yeah, it's good to know what it is. The Painted Ladies, mm-hmm. you know, there's so many random things that are just like real life, like everyday landmarks. Like it's just a house, mm-hmm. but it's like, did you know that Robin Williams, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, well, I didn't know that. So do your research. I think it's for the nostalgic.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think we're in agreement, sir.
Cool.
But that is that. Where can you find us on social media?
Social media, Instagram, and only Instagram. We are at A Good Squeeze. You can DM us. You can check out our content. We make little videos. And we have a fun little segment, August, if you'd like to just kind of tell us about that.
Yeah. We're starting a new thing. I'm going to post every now and then where I make James Bond themed cocktails, whether it's inspired by a character or a location or a movie itself. Most recently, in honor of A View to a Kill, we made the May Day.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, tune into Instagram.
Yeah, he makes it and I drink it, and that's it. And then we have fun witty banter. Yeah, so tune in on Instagram, check us out, DM us. August is pretty much running it at this point, so for all those who hesitated, you're now talking to August. So,
that's
no longer
correct.
Me. Yeah.
And then you can check us out on, you can hear us. You can hear us wherever you listen to us now, but we're on Spotify, we're on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and Audio Boom is the main hub.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, I'm Margo.
And I'm August.
And this has been...
It's your turn to
do. Oh, wait, hold on. You know what? I do want to give one plug.
Oh.
Our friend Chris. Check out his band, Life Size Models. Excellent. Excellent music. He's a big Bond fan. It's not Bond music, but that's okay. Excellent performers. Excellent sound. They're very good. So just wanted to give him a little shout out while we're here. But I'm Margo.
Hey, I'm August.
And this has been...
A Good Squeeze.